Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. What a day, huh? This is why we live in Southern California. Ocean was beautiful. Everybody's out. Everybody's up early today. It's Saturday. And so you walk into your favorite bistro, your little cafe place. You know the things you do. You sit down, you take a deep breath, and then you want to throw up. Yeah, that's today's show. It's about a topic that I've been meaning to cover that I live with incessantly, and so do you. It's called people stink. People stink. And I don't mean they don't take showers. I mean people stink. And why do they stink? Aftershave lotions, colognes, hairsprays, conditioners, the soap you wear, these cheap, chemically toxic garbage perfumes. How about the air freshener for the car? How about the fact that just about everything you buy has a scent to it? How about when you go to the mall and you go into the perfume place because you got to buy something for somebody and you want to throw up or faint or pass out or you go into a seizure? How about the fact that the cancer rates are soaring? And how about the fact that most people think what I'm suggesting is absolute bunko because they've drank the Kool-Aid? And the Kool-Aid is all these toxic, stinking, lousy smells that you may or may not smell, and we'll get into that, they're carcinogens. They're all carcinogens. They're bad. But if you take that to the local medic, the institution, the research center, they're going to tell you I'm crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I can think outside the box. Can you? I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. Straight Talk on Health. How many of you, raise your hand out there, walk around in this world of the person that I'm sitting next to has an aftershave lotion on and I want to die? And you know what I'm talking about. How about detergents that you wash your clothes with? Tide, all those bunko garbage things. You can smell people coming from a mile away. You ever sit one next to those people? I can't. My reality is running away from these people. If I sit next to them in school, if I sit next to them in a restaurant, if I sit next to them anywhere, I have to move or make them move. And it's going to be a war if I'm trapped, because I'm not smelling that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, if you do, it's because you're vibrant. And if you don't, check yourself. Sorry, someone's got to say it. If you are not relating to this conversation right now, check yourself. Really? If you can't smell the chemical toxicity that we are being constantly inundated with, check yourself, because you're a little too numb. Not a judgment, not a condescension. It's just simply check yourself. I'll give you an example. The other day, someone I do business with, a lot of business with, has to come over to the office for about 3 or 4 hours. And I told him, dude, you smell. And it's not you, it's what you wear. And it stinks up my office. You know, on my intake form in the office before you come see me, it says colognes, perfumes, all these exotic soaps. Don't wear them. Come as you are and come clean. I mean, we ask people, but this guy is in here because I have to do business with him. And I tell him this. So he comes back later on. He had to come back later because I wouldn't sit next to him. I'm going to pay this guy big money for 4 hours and get sick? So he comes back at a later date, and he's all happy, and I'm happy too, because, you know, he showed little respect, took care of the matter. Comes in, he stinks worse. And I'm like, what is this? I find out it's his air freshener in the car. Now, let me give you how this works. This guy is from another country. Great guy from a foreign country, from an impoverished foreign country. Loves America. That makes me happy. I love it. Come here from some ghetto and you do well and your kids go to Ivy League schools and you love America and you know who George Washington is and Thomas Jefferson. I mean, that's the dream, right? So I'm all happy. I like the relationship. This guy in his country, they take cinnamon roots. The roots to cinnamon. Cinnamon plants. And also the branches. And they dry them. And they dry them and they use them medicinally. Cinnamon is a medicine. Plus, for a lot of people, it's got a very pleasant smell. And this guy has his habit from his country. And so he gets all these cinnamon sticks that you can buy at the local market in his neighborhood. There's one problem. In America, they take these cinnamon sticks and they soak them, not in cinnamon, they soak them in a chemical called trans-cinnamaldehyde. Now, cinnamaldehyde is not cinnamon. I've made cinnamaldehyde in organic chemistry. The aldehydes are the chemical component, so to speak, of what we call, oh, that delicious smell. Vanilla is an aldehyde. There's different smells that we associate with beautiful smells. When you buy these oils and they're synthetic, that's because they tweaked an aldehyde, which is an organic moiety or a short compound. COOH. Okay? Well, when nature does this, it all works out. You take your cinnamon stick, you dry it out, maybe you rub cinnamon into it or some concoction that grandma taught you, and you put it in the car and it's got a lovely fragrance if you like cinnamon. Personally, I don't like cinnamon, but that's not the point. If it was lavender or orange or lemon, it's heaven. It's what you do. It's a darn good thing. But in America, and in other countries, and in the industrial world, I should say, what do we do with that? We destroy it. And the way we destroy it to save money is with the chemicals. And that's what people do to save money. They buy these chemically toxic carcinogens. So if you go to Google and you look up cinnamaldehyde and carcinogenesis, or toxicity, you see these articles. And I'm looking at one right now. Toxicity and carcinogenesis studies of microencapsulated trans-cinnamaldehyde. That's the chemical in rats and mice. You know, that's the way it is. I apologize if you have a love relationship with mice and rats, but that's what we do. We do it to monkeys too, but we don't like to tell people that. In any event, we take rodents and figure out whether these rodents are going to be malignant, meaning whether they're going to get cancer fast from these chemicals. And cinnamaldehyde is one of them. And all the aldehydes that create these fragrances, orange and lavender and raspberry and peach and this and that, they're all of these aldehyde analogs. Now, I can go on and on and on about other things like your hairsprays, anything with fragrance. But I'm just going to focus on this because it's hot off the press. If you go to your doctor, your trusted physician over there at Kaiser or wherever else, and you say to him, some nut on the radio said, this stuff is a carcinogen, and it just so happens my wife loves that cinnamon smell. And you Ask an oncologist if you ask a toxicologist whether or not this article has relevance. They'll tell you, not at all. They'll tell you, like this article is going to imply, that the dosages of cinnamaldehyde, the amount of cinnamaldehyde, even if it were a carcinogen, is so low, despite the fact you're marinating your car in it all day long, is so low that it's not a danger. And then they'll say, you know, if you get down to it, salt is a carcinogen. Anything at high enough a concentration will irritate your cells and tend to create higher incidences of cancer. And so they'll say, relax, that's a lot of nonsense. And this, my friends, is one of the great loopholes. And that's what I want you to understand. These smells. And they're bad, and it's getting worse. People stink. All week long. All week long. You're exposed to this, and you got to walk away. And it's just people who don't have the money to afford generally the higher levels of it. Perfumes, hairsprays, you name it. Hair conditioners, whatever. And not always that. But generally, the cheaper things stink the worst. And there's damn good reasons for that. Should you be concerned? Well, here's the point. And I'll repeat myself. You'll go into the literature and try to find out whether that cinnamon smell at all is dangerous. And you'll get an article like the one I'm looking at. And what it will tell you is, they took a bunch of rats, and they were given diets containing 4,100 or 8,200 or 16,500 or 33,000 parts per million in their feed consumption. In other words, you took a bunch of rats and you put them in different groups, the 4,100, the 8,200, the 16,000, the 33,000. And each of those numbers represents, in parts per million, differences in the amount of cinnamaldehyde you expose the rats to. And then what do? You go in and look for mutations. You look for malignancies. This is how it's done. Nitrites. All the carcinogens in cigarettes. The benzopyrenes, any the PCBs, anything that's linked as a carcinogen or not has studies done like this. And they're all the same. You take a bunch of rodents and you give them varying degrees and you track the rodents over a period of time and you wait until a dosage that gives them cancer a lot. It's called the LD50. L like Larry, D like Dr. 50 like the number 50, the LD50. The concentration of the potential carcinogen, at which point 50% of the population croaks, meaning they get malignancies, is called the LD50. If your dosage, what you're exposed to, is under the LD50, they'll tell you, sorry, that brain tumor has nothing to do with that chemical, because under the LD50, you're not going to get sick. They'll tell you the dosages you're exposed to are so low, you don't have to worry. I'll give you an example of how stupid this is and why this is. Now, this is hard science. You can go on. Go on Google, toxicity and carcinogenesis studies of microencapsulated trans-cinnamaldehyde in rats and mice. Just look it up. The National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. And the articles are driven by medical doctors, but usually scientists, who might take an MD as an ancillary degree. This is done all over. Here's an example. I knew this woman years ago, about a decade ago. Nice woman. Lived in Oregon, in Portland. Made a lot of money as Portland was developing. Actually, this is 20 years ago, excuse me. Oh my God, does time fly. And she was making a lot of money selling commercial spaces in this huge office building that was being constructed in Portland. And because the building was being constructed and she was selling out the spaces as a real estate broker ahead of time, she was exposed to a lot of this toxic garbage. Well, one day she wakes up and her head, like an owl, is twisted around her neck. She had what you call torticollis. It just meant her nerves were eaten by something. And it spasmed out the muscles in her neck so bad that, I mean, it was deformed. It was a deformity. This woman's life was in danger. She couldn't work anymore. It was an absolute disaster. And of course, she was young. She was in her 40s. She wanted a cure. She knew it was related to that construction site. So I watched her go to the nation's leading toxicologists. And the dummies, and I say dummy with a capital D, all got lists of what potentially this woman was exposed to. And then reasoned out that at the dosages she was exposed. These were so far below the LD50, so far below the concentration that would imply danger, that that site could never have produced this. And so she couldn't proceed legally. There was no lawsuit pending because no one could provide statistics or a model to explain how dosages that low of all these toxicities could actually have caused this. And her life was a tragedy. A tragedy. People close to me, I've watched them have mothers, fathers living and working at toxic dump sites. I had a guy at 52 fairly recently. Beautiful guy. Colon cancer. Took him 2 years. That was it. He's dead. He was a carpenter. Sucking down the worst toxicities, all the glues and the dyes and the this and the that. Auto mechanics. It's everywhere. Not to mention what we're putting on our bodies all day. Like you guys at the hair salon. Hairstylists. And if you go to understand in the literature what would justify the statement, these stinks are carcinogenic, like this woman did, toxicology and the medical profession will all tell you bunko. The concentrations aren't high enough. You got it? All right. We're 17 minutes into the show. I wanted to lay the show down. You got the scenario now? Start taking a whiff of what's around you and understand you're going to get sick because of it. And the reason this is not supported, and now here's the punchline, is as follows. For you to get a tumor, for you to go into a cancerous, or for that matter, any form of a disease, always means some sequence of genes has been persuaded to turn themselves on to, in the case of cancer, produce unregulated cell growth. I'll say that again. And I'll just stick to cancer, but I mean all diseases. The vast majority. But we'll just stick to cancer. When you get a tumor, it means that a multitude of genes have been persuaded, prompted, initiated, cajoled by these smells to turn on when they should be shut off. And if enough of them turn on, the body, the cells of the liver or wherever you get your cancer, start going into unregulated cell division, unregulated replication. The cell synthesis signals get turned on through the genes. Proteins are made, enzymes are made, and you start in an unregulated way dividing your cells without any control. That's cancer. And there's always a mechanism. So there's dozens of mechanisms. There's names for these, guanine adduction. In short, these mechanisms turn on what you call cancer genes, oncogenes, or they turn off tumor suppressor genes. And there's lots of ways to do this. So if there's a gene that's part of what becomes unregulated cell growth, you can turn that gene on a bunch of different ways. And suppose cinnamaldehyde does it one way. And suppose a PCB does it another way. And suppose too much estrogen does it a third way. And suppose benzopyrenes do it a fourth way. And suppose aflatoxin does it a fifth way. Suppose, rather than saying you need 5 units of cinnamaldehyde to turn that gene on, you could basically turn that gene on using 1 unit of 5 different carcinogens. And the same thing will happen. You can either turn on an oncogene by hitting it with 5 units of cinnamaldehyde or 1 unit of 5 different carcinogens from 5 different carcinogens. Can you take that in? You need to take that in. And the reason you take that in is because when you go to your toxicologist, like this woman, and you say, I'm sick, I'm dying, I have a tragedy looming, and I know it's because of what I was breathing in. When they study the concentration of each of these carcinogens individually, they'll never conclude a danger. What they're supposed to do is respect a word that science does not respect. It's called bioaccumulation. It's called the combined toxicity. It's called you've got cinnamaldehyde in your car, and then you put some garbage on your skin, and then you have some garbage makeup, and then you sit next to some bozo who doesn't know he shouldn't soak his clothes in Tide and all. And so your whole life becomes a massive exposure when if you take any one single carcinogen, it's well below the LD50. That's how stupid the scientists are. I salute you, all of you, you scientists, because you're bimbos in the first degree. I indict you because you've let your credentials replace your common sense. And those in the medical community, and not all medical doctors are like this. Some medical doctors get this. Most of them don't. Science and medicine are in bed with each other. And they've lost their common sense. Let me tell you how bad this gets. People, you out there, you who are listening to the show today, you who understand what I'm talking about. And again, if you don't, check yourself because you're numb. Sorry. Your senses are skewed. Go out in the desert, fast 40 days and 40 nights. Clean yourself out. You'll smell this stuff. But those of you who understand it, and those of you who call yourself, now here's another punchline to the show. This is a takeaway. Those of you who call yourself environmentally challenged. In my experience, most of you are not environmentally challenged because there's something wrong with you. You're environmentally challenged because there's something right with you. I am environmentally challenged. I work out like an ape. I live a very full life. My body's strong. I do the work of 6 people. I don't stop. I am environmentally challenged. The difference between me and other people is I know it's not me, it's the environment. And what people don't know, and you may be one of them listening today, is that really your life has never been about something's wrong or defective with you. Your nervous system can sense what's wrong and defective in the environment around you. That's a very different slant. That is a very different way to look at it. And that's the way you need to look at it. But you know, here's what's complicated about you, the environmentally challenged. your life over the years of environmental challenge. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, people that can't function because of exactly what I'm talking about. They can't function. Me, I function. I just tell you to move. And I do. Or I tell myself I'm going to move. If I'm in a classroom and the guy sitting next to me stinks, he moves or I move. I'll tell the teacher. I'm allergic to whatever that guy has on his body. I'm sitting there, even if it's next to the teacher. I don't care. But you, from the time you were little, you were sensitive. And every single time you complained, somebody told you to shut up. Shut up, keep quiet, and suffer. You didn't like your eggs? Shut up. You didn't like your fish? Shut up. You didn't like the fluorescent lights? You didn't like the color of the walls? You didn't like the nylon blanket? Shut up. You tell that to a little kid, it becomes inside a monster. Now you're an adult. Now you got two problems. One, you're precocious and sensitive, and that's a gift. Two, you enrage. Both of them destroy the liver, and that makes you environmentally toxic, beyond environmentally toxic. I know people that have spent their life like this, and I hope this perspective's helped. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, 714-850-1007. If you're environmentally challenged or your health is challenged in any way, shape, and form, make the appointment. Come on in. I'll put you on the right track, guaranteed. God bless you. Have a nice day.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.